Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to give you all a very big welcome. If you're here week by week, it's good to see you again. If it's your first time here, it's especially good to see you. I hope you feel a really warm welcome with us this morning. And I'd like to give an especially big welcome to someone who won't have a clue what I'm saying, but that is to Rory. But he's got a good excuse because he's only, I think, 9 weeks old. So we'll let him off. And later in the service, we'll be giving thanks to God for Rory, along with Charlie and Bex, for the blessing that he is. So we're really looking forward to thanking God a little bit later in the service. We do have refreshments after the service as well. So in the hall through there, we've got some refreshments. Do stay afterwards if you'd like to join us for that. And I believe there are some very special cupcakes that I haven't seen yet, but I've heard about them. So do stay for those if you can. Just as well, we love having little ones and children in the service. It's great to see a good number of little ones and children in the service now. But if you do want a creche, there's one in the meeting room. It's just through there. If you need guidance, a steward at the back will help you. But we do have a creche, so make use of that if you want to. If we can just ask that the little ones and children are picked up in the final song, which just means that those people in the creche can come and join us for the Thanksgiving part of the service. So the final song will be the one that's after John, our pastor's message. So that would be very helpful. Thank you. Well, the message today, the title of it that we're going to hear later is Jesus and Children. And just looking forward to hearing what does Jesus teach us about children and how we're to be like children and what we can learn. So we're looking forward to that a bit later. One of the things we love to do is sing. And so we're going to do that in just a moment. We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. The words are a little bit old-fashioned to some of us, but they're great words. And it just we're praising God for his goodness and his faithfulness to us. So when the music starts, if you're able to, please stand and we'll sing together.
Jesus, I'm faithful, yes, I love my Father. There is such a God, my Father.
bow our heads before the God we've just been singing to. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are the maker and the God and the sustainer of all things. Lord, we thank you that you were there at the beginning and, Lord, that you will be there at the end. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that is worthy of our praise. And I pray that you'd help us to praise you this morning. And yet, Lord, I thank you that you are not a distant God. Lord, that you are not so great and mighty that we cannot communicate with you. Lord, you know all about us. And Lord, we have the privilege of being able to speak to you this morning, to communicate with you, and also to listen to you speak to us. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself through your word, the Bible. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to guess what you're like. We don't have to imagine. We don't have to try and work it out like some sort of puzzle. But we thank you that you have told us. Lord, you have revealed yourself to us so that we can know you and that we can learn more and more about your character and about the great things that you have done and about the great things that you will do. But Lord, we thank you especially that you haven't just given us a book, but Lord, you've revealed yourself to us in your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that he came to live amongst us. Lord, he came to be born as a baby and to grow up as a little child and then to live as a human like us, to serve as a servant and then even to die. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we are coming towards Easter. And Lord, we remember especially at Easter the death and the glorious resurrection of Jesus with all the hope and the joy that that brings with it for us. And so we thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us and for even coming to be with us and that you are the Saviour of the world. Lord, we thank you for these things. And we pray that you would be with us this morning and that it would be a really special time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to read now from the Bible, from some verses that our Pastor John will be helping us understand a little bit later. And the first reading is Matthew chapter 18. So it's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 1 to 6 to start. It will be on the screens at the front. If you haven't got a Bible or prefer to look at a screen. So Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to start with verses 1 to 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened round his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." And then we're going to jump forward a few verses to verses 10 to 14. So still in Matthew 18, verses 10 to 14. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And then finally, we're going to jump into the next chapter, Matthew chapter 19, and just read verses 13 to 15. So this is just Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Well, in a moment, we're going to have a children's talk. So if you have children of primary school age, they're very welcome to come up the front. But before we do that, we're going to have a song. And it's a song that Charlie and Bex have specifically chosen. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. So again, when the music starts, if you're able to, please do stand and let's sing.
See you. Well, come up the front. You're very welcome to come and find us. Brilliant. Well done. Good. Okay. Hey, well done. That's it. That's it. Come and find a seat. Go on, shove up a bit. Go on, move up a bit. That's it. There's room for a little one. You go the other side. That's it, you go the other side. That's brilliant. Well done. Excellent. Good, well, it's nice to see you all. Okay. Now, as usual, I have a bag. I wonder what I've got in my bag today. I wonder what's in there. Well, I don't know, but do you like Jaffa cakes? Put your hand up if you like Jaffa cakes. Yeah? Excellent. What is there not to like about a Jaffa cake? A nice bit of sponge on the bottom, covered in a nice layer of thick chocolate, encasing a piece of jam. What's there not to like about a Jaffa cake? Put your hand up if you would like a Jaffa cake. Excellent. Some of the adults are putting their hands up too. That's really good. Now, before I give you a Jaffa cake, I just want to make you aware that there are 11 types of Jaffa cake that you can buy. So you could have lemon and lime. Do you know which one of those are lemon and lime? No, I don't. You could have strawberry. Which one of them is a strawberry then? No, don't know. Blackcurrant. Cola. Has anyone ever had a cola Jaffa cake? Wow, I'd like to try that. Pineapple. Cherry. Passion fruit. Who fancies a passion fruit Jaffa cake? Which one of these is a passion fruit Jaffa cake? We don't know, do we? No. And then we have... Did you know that Jaffa cake is actually made with apricot, with orange flavouring? So an average Jaffa cake, a normal Jaffa cake, is apricot with orange flavouring. What about honey and hot chilli? Who fancies a honey and hot chilli? Now, I'm promising you, there are some in here. There are some honey and hot chilli Jaffa cakes in here. Lemon or raspberry. So those four flavours along the bottom are all on this plate. Hands up if you would like one of these Jaffa cakes. Oh, we got some brave ones. Well, what I'm going to do is afterwards, the Jaffa cakes are going to go out the back in their boxes so you know which one's which. But we can't tell what jam is under the Jaffa cake, can we? No, because we can only see the outside. We can't see the inside. Now, there is a verse in the Bible, which you will know, because we've done it for children's talks before. Does anyone want to read that in a nice, loud voice? Elle, you can do a nice, loud voice for me? Go for it.
For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward
appearance. Excellent, yes, well read. So we can only see the outside. We can't see what's going on inside us. So that means if God looks on the inside, he can see or he can hear what we're thinking. He can see whether we're telling a lie. He can understand the things we love and the things we hate. I was just thinking... We're going to say thank you for baby Rory in a bit, aren't we? Hey? Now, when babies are born, all the mums and the ladies go around, oh, isn't he or she sweet? Aren't they cute? And all the men are going, pretty ugly, can't say it. Because they're looking at the outward appearance. Now, 9 weeks in, the ugliness is gone. They are, you know, a baby that's 9 weeks old is better than one that's just a few days old. But, yeah, all the mums go, oh, aren't they lovely? All the men are going, because we're looking at the outside appearance. But God doesn't. He knows every time we tell a lie. He knows every time that we say something, we want to be nice, but we don't really mean it. And that's a challenge for us. So if you think that, you know, you might be really bored at the moment, God knows. You're all smiling and looking at me, but God knows. So when you think that you can get away with something, just remember, God sees what's going on. He looks at what's going on inside you rather than outside you. Well, thank you for listening so well, and say the Jaffa cakes will be on the table at the end outside. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Just say other yummy snacks are also available. But on top of that, we also have, coming up sometime soon, we haven't actually sorted dates for it yet, but Christianity Explored. Let me read the back of it. Christianity is an informal and relaxed 7-week course. Will it be that long necessarily? It is this one. As for anyone who wants to think about the meaning of life, it's run by ordinary Christian people local to you and is completely free. You don't need to know anything about the Bible and you won't be asked to pray or sing. You can ask any question you like, or you can just sit and listen if you'd prefer. Whoever you are, whatever you're thinking, Christianity Explored is a place for you to explore what life's all about. It might just be the best news you've ever heard. So if that intrigues you, if you want to know a bit more, there are some contact details on the back. Martin and Jane, do get in touch with them, and you can work out availability of sort of what works best for whoever's interested. But I really encourage you to do that, a great course to find out a bit more about what we believe and what Christianity's all about. We also have on Easter Sunday a 10:30 service. So normally we meet at 11:15 on Easter Sunday. It is 10:30, and it's a service for everyone, a special Easter service. So you're very, very welcome to come to that. Well, let's pray again. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, and as a big crowd of us, Lord, we will be in all sorts of different circumstances with all sorts of different feelings. Lord, we thank you that some of us will have a real sense of happiness and contentment. Maybe some of us are very excited about things that are coming up and we've got a real sense of anticipation. Maybe some of us here this morning are feeling tired, maybe even a level of exhaustion. Lord, maybe some of us have come here this morning, and if we're honest, Lord, our hearts are feeling heavy, and we feel overwhelmed by things. Maybe some of us are here this morning, and we're feeling confused, or maybe we're feeling anxious about life. Lord, we thank you that however we are feeling this morning, and that whatever circumstances we are in, Lord, we thank you that you know them. And you know us. We thank you that we can come here this morning however we are, however we're feeling, whatever we're going through. Lord, we thank you that we don't need to act with you. Lord, we don't need to put on a brave face, to kind of put on a mask. Lord, we thank you that we can come as we are. We can come to you, the Lord God, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you that the good news that we read about in the Bible is such good news that it can bring peace and it can bring light into even the darkest and the saddest situations. Lord, it can bring rest to us when we're anxious. It can give us energy when we're tired or overwhelmed. And we thank you that this good news is so good, Lord, that it can give us more happiness and more joy than anything else that we could be doing or thinking about this morning could. Lord, we thank you that when we read about you and all that you've done for us and all that you are, Lord, that is good news for us. Lord, the Bible says that we were made to know you. We were made to be connected to you, to be in a relationship with you, to be connected to you, the life source, to be made whole. And Lord, we thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, Lord, we can have our sins washed away and we can be made right with you, and that we can be called your children, sons and daughters of the living God. And we can come to you as our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us here this morning would know the wonder and the joy of knowing our sins have been taken away and dealt with by Jesus. Lord, we look at the world around us today, whether that's locally or whether that's globally, and Lord, we see things are just so broken, so uncertain. So many people are so confused. There is so much injustice in the world. Lord, we thank you that nothing is outside of your control. Lord, even though it often may look like it. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign. And we thank you especially for the hope that we have as Christians, that one day, Lord, that you will come and you will remake the world, and that you will deal with injustice, and that you will deal with evil, and that you will bring a world of peace and life and perfection. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, when everything will be made right. And Lord, I pray that until that day, Lord, that we would trust you and that we would follow you and that we would obey you. Lord, you are so good to us in so many ways. We thank you for the glorious weather that we've been enjoying this week. And Lord, so many of us enjoy that and we thank you for it. And we especially thank you this morning for baby Rory. Lord, thank you for him, another miracle of life. Lord, such a special gift to Charlie and Bex and to the wider families and to all of us that love them as friends. Lord, we thank you for him and we pray for him. Lord, we pray that he would grow and that he would grow healthily and that you would protect him and bless him and be with him. Lord, we pray that he would come to know you as his Lord and Saviour. And we pray that he would be a good influence on those around him. We pray that he'd be a good friend as well. Lord, that people may know him as a blessing to know. Lord, help him, I pray. Be with him, I pray, as he grows up to be a child and then a man. And Lord, we pray for Charlie and Bex as well. Lord, especially as this time can be exhausting, Lord, I pray that you give them energy with such a big responsibility. I pray that you'd help them to keep him safe and to look after him well. Give them great wisdom in all this, I pray. But I pray that you'd help them as well as he grows up and as they seek to guide him and teach him and mold him. Lord, I pray that you give them great wisdom and great help as they do that. And I pray that we as a community may support them in that as well. Lord, help us to do that well. Lord, may they never think they're alone. Lord, help us, I pray. And so, Lord, we do come before you with thanks this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help John, our pastor, as he speaks to us very soon. I pray that you'd help him speak clearly. I pray that you'd give us an understanding of what he's saying. And I pray that it would really impact us this morning. So do be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before John does come up, we're going to sing one more song. And the second verse, I'm not going to read it out, but it does especially link in with what we're thinking about this morning. So let's stand and sing again.
Amen. So this morning we have a break from our series, and we have a one-off, and we're looking at this theme of Jesus and children. Jesus and children. I don't know what your thoughts are about that theme this morning. Maybe you've never even thought about it, not crossed your mind. Maybe it takes you back, maybe your grandparents had a book, a Ladybird book with pictures of Jesus and children in, and it makes you think of things like that. Makes you feel a bit puzzled, maybe even horrified. Not so much at the thought of Jesus and children, but certain individuals you've heard of who said they were linked with Jesus and how they were with children, and you find the whole theme a little bit puzzling. And maybe you think a bit of Jesus for children, perhaps in school age, younger school years, quite a nice start for them. Here's a local photo. Anyone know where that's from? It's a local photo of Jesus, friend of little children. Where's that? Anyone know? On a school. Maybe none of you have been to that school. Here we go. St. John's School, so not far from here, and there has a nice little plaque outside, Jesus, friend of little children, and other schools will have similar messages, which is very good and very nice, and you think, well, that's quite nice, a good start for children to be linked with Jesus. Well, we're going to get to the primary sources this morning and think about Jesus and children. We're going to see what it says in the Bible. And we had some of that in our readings this morning. And it's going to help us think about Jesus and children. But as we do so, we realise it's all also a message for us. So it's really, if you like, a triangle this morning. We're thinking of Jesus and children, but from what Jesus says and how he deals with children, we feature in this as well. So there's something for all of us to think about. What we find out about Jesus was quite radical for a person like him in his day. His attitude to children was so different to others. He was around children. He watched them play. He called them. He prayed for them. Children largely disregarded by others and seen as not important were important to him. We saw two episodes in what we read in the Bible, and we're going to look at those, and we're going to learn three things for us this morning. Now, some here this morning are children. So you've been down the front already, you've heard a good talk already, and you might find it interesting this morning to hear a bit more about what Jesus says and about children. Many others here are involved with children, like Bex with her teaching or child minding or church work, or have families. And you're going to find it interesting and helpful as well. But remember the triangle. What we're looking at this morning is relevant to all of us. So I'm hoping that all of us will be made thoughtful in what we hear this morning. Now, the first episode involves the followers of Jesus, and they have a question. And the question is, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? And I think they're thinking about which of them. They're thinking, is it me? Am I the greatest? There are other times where they were arguing along those lines. They were thinking, who is top dog? Who is seen as the best? And Jesus at first doesn't answer them sort of directly. But he does something surprising. He calls a child into the middle of them. The word probably suggests a young child, perhaps a toddler. He says, over here, Benjamin, or come this way, Ruth. And the little chap or the little girl is in the middle of these grown men. And I can imagine, we're not told, but I can imagine Jesus sort of crouching down, perhaps putting his hand on the shoulder of the little fellow or the little girl. And he says this, verse 3. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the first lesson we have is be like children. Be like children. Jesus is making a strong point. He starts off truly, emphatic. He wants them, he wants us to listen. And he says, greatness, you're arguing about greatness. Greatness is being like a child. It's being like children. Imagine their faces. Can't see them. Can imagine maybe a little bit of sniggering here, maybe. A little bit of tutting there. Just astonishment at what Jesus has said. And in fact, Jesus says, you can't even be in my kingdom unless you become like a child. He says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean, become like children? To say there's a difference between being childish and childlike. Being childish and childlike. So he's not saying, obviously, be childish. You know, be moody. Play games all day. Have no concentration. Throw tantrums. Annoy your sister. He's not saying be childish. As some of us adults, we can be childish sometimes. But he's not sort of endorsing that. Now he's saying be childlike. Be childlike. What does it mean? Well, he goes on to say it means to be humble. Whoever humbles himself. In those days, children had a very low position in societies. Changed a bit these days, but they had a very low position. And children were, as always, obviously dependent. They needed help. They looked to adults. They needed to be provided for and sorted and coached and helped. Be humble. Be dependent. And Jesus is saying we need to realise we need others to do things for us. We're not as important as we think we are. And especially we need God. We can't function in life properly without God. Our real needs for truth, for deep joy, for satisfaction, for a restored relationship with God, for future hope. These real needs, these big needs, can't be met without God. They can't be met without Jesus. They can't be met without the person who went to the cross to die for others. Things are a non-starter, really, spiritually, without him. We need him for our spiritual needs. We need him for our eternal needs. And that's the way we enter, it says, God's kingdom. That's the way we become a true Christian. When we are in God's family, when we're heading for heaven, it's because we've become childlike and humble and dependent and realised we need Jesus in our lives. We need his forgiveness. We need him to make us at peace with God. And Jesus says this change needs to happen to us. He says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You need to turn or be converted, it says in some of the translations. We need to become childlike. So it's good for us all to think, isn't there? Is our attitude one of, I'm better than them, and God, you ought to realise that too? A bit like the disciples were showing something of. Or is it a bit of, I've done many things wrong. I need your help, Lord. I need your forgiveness. I need you in going forward. So at the end of the service, we'll have Rory down the front in the middle of us. I think Rory's a bit younger than the child here that is talked about. But as we think of that happening, it can remind us of these verses, 2 and 3. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Be like children. Jesus carries on, verse 5, we'll pick that up in a bit. And then we can see from verse 6 that Jesus wants us to protect children. There's discussion about whether what we're reading now is talking about directly children or those who've become childlike, like Jesus was talking, young believers. I think it's relevant to both. And he wants them protected. He wants them protected. And it's put in exceedingly strong language. It's hyperbole, as we called it. It's put in a certain way to make the point very emphatically. Verse 6. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Not treating it lightly, is he? They thought in those days that what happened to children didn't really matter. Children didn't matter much. They were sort of expendable. Children could be slaves. All sorts of wrong things were done to children, which wasn't picked up on. And Jesus puts in a big warning. It's so serious to damage these little ones, to make them stumble, as it says in some translations, to lead them into sin. A huge responsibility, accountability is on those who do that. So child protection, safeguarding, it's become a big part of our culture, hasn't it? And sadly, it's needed to be. And here the words of Jesus are right behind appropriate child protection. The welfare, the health, the development of children should be an important aspect of churches. It should be an important aspect of society. But Jesus widens it as well here. The little ones who believe in me. So believers in Jesus are often weak and tender. They might be young. And we should do all that we can to encourage them, to bless them, to avoid things that tempt them, to avoid things that make them stumble, damage them, lead them astray. Well, how can we do things that might be like that? What sort of things is Jesus talking about? Well, it would warn us against showing them the ropes of sin, which then encourage them in that direction. It would warn us against living hypocritical lives, which is such an off-put to youngsters. It would warn us against a lack of love towards them, which would veer them away from God and cause them in a bad direction. This sort of teaching is applied in perhaps a gentler way to parents later on in the Bible. Parents, fathers particularly, in the letter to Ephesians are told this: "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Well, parenting is a tough business, and Charlie and Bex already know that. I know it's a tough business, and we know we fail, and that things are hard, but it's good to look to the Heavenly Father to help us to parent in a way which is a blessing to our children, which is for their health and not for their harm. So the second lesson from what Jesus says is protect children. And then we come to the other episode. I said there was two episodes. The other episode we read is in the next chapter, chapter 19, and we get from it our final point. And this is our final point this morning. Welcome, children. Welcome, children. Let's read again what happened, Matthew 19, 13 to 15. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Well, here it's presumably perhaps the parents who are doing something very positive for their children. They want their children to know Jesus. They want them to come under his influence and to have some contact with him. And that's a good thing for parents. In the barrage of all the things that can be done for children, all the things that could be sorted out for children, it's good if parents have in mind that they want an influence of Jesus on the children. They want a strong spiritual element in the life and growth of their children. I feel sure that's what Charlie and Bex want as they bring up Rory. And encourage other parents to think along those lines as well. There's many other things that you're thinking of for your children. Don't forget the spiritual element. These parents were bringing children to Jesus. It's a good thing. But as these folks try and bring their little ones to Jesus, look what happens. They get told off. Not by Jesus, but by the disciples, verse 13. The disciples rebuked them. You think, haven't they learned? Didn't they see what happened the chapter before? They hadn't clocked Jesus' attitude to children. They hadn't realised how big-hearted Jesus was towards the youngsters. And Jesus had to overrule them and to intervene. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. So they were sort of shooing the children off and the parents off. And Jesus was welcoming and saying, "Bring them, let them come." He wanted to see them. He wanted to show kindness to them. He wanted to pray for them. He wanted to bless them. Jesus welcomed the children, and so shall we. The verse 5 we jumped in the previous chapter, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Jesus welcomed the children. We should welcome children. And I think there's a message here for actual children. Children, Jesus showed kindness to people like you. He's not just there for the grown-ups. You can come to Jesus. You can pray to Jesus. You can express your need of Jesus. You can confess things to Jesus. Jesus took interest in children. That's a good message for you, isn't it? It's a message, I think, for all of those involved with children. It encourages you in what you're doing. Working with children has its joys and it has its challenges. And seeing the attitude of Jesus can encourage you. The thing that you do every day in the home, at the preschool, at the primary school, in the church youth work, you have this sort of endorsement of what you're doing. Jesus loved children. I will try and copy that. I'm going to be encouraged by his attitude. But it's also, remember the triangle, it's also a message for the childlike, if I can put it like that. Maybe like Jesus has been saying, you're becoming more childlike in realizing you need him in your life. You realize that no one else can forgive, that you need him. Encouraging message for you. Jesus is welcome as the childlike. I heard a conversation this week, happened in the middle of the week. It was with a man who didn't believe in God until a couple of months ago. His wife went to a church toddler group, and then 3 weeks ago they started to go to church for the first time. He was at a midweek meal this week, and after the curry and a brief message, he was gently asked about his thoughts. And he said, honestly, we're not totally sure what to think, but we're pretty sure that Christianity is the key to going forward for us as a couple. Maybe the start of becoming childlike, realizing need, realizing that need can be satisfied by Jesus. Well, maybe you are starting to turn in that direction. And this is an encouragement for you. Where Jesus welcomes the childlike. Jesus welcoming the children, come. There's a picture of him welcoming the childlike, come. And many of us are grateful for that, because that's how we have had to come. We may not have been children in years, but we had to become like children, and Jesus welcomed us and received us. So Jesus and children this morning, be like children, protect children, welcome children. Okay, we're going to have our last song before then, when we move on to the Thanksgiving. And our last song is one of compassion, and it refers to children at some point in it. So look out for that. So it's nicely connected to the message that we've been looking at. There is an everlasting kindness you lavished on us. So stand to sing our last song.
Thank you.
Yeah, do sit down. So we come to a lovely part of the service, and we have little Rory Bastin down the front here, a child in the middle of us, and he's a wonderful answer to prayer, and we're so thankful for him. Born a couple of months ago, the 15th of January, he was born, and this morning I'm not baptizing him. So we're a Baptist church, so the way we do things are for people to be baptized when they have personal faith later on in life. And we've got some baptisms next month and indeed the month after. So I'm not baptizing him. I'm not naming him. They've named him. They've given him a fine name. Rory Samuel. Samuel, God has heard, so reflects that. I'm not naming him. I'm not imparting a special blessing. I don't have a magic touch to impart to Rory this morning. But what I am doing is, on behalf of you, giving thanks to God. We rejoice with Charlie and Bex. We rejoice with family members and friends who've joined us at God's kindness to them. And we want to express that. And I will be praying on behalf of you, really a bit like a childlike, humble prayer. We realise our dependence on God and we want to express that together. Now, I usually give a verse at this stage, but of course, in many ways, we've been looking at a verse on it. So I'm just going to repeat that verse to you at this point, where Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Maybe that might encourage you in the strains of parenthood and in your spiritual upbringing of Rory as you do your best and in your own dependence on God in your life. Well, it is a spirit of thanksgiving that we come together, and Charlie and Bex wanted to just say a few words personally to you all before I pray with Rory. So, over to one of you or both of you. Here's a microphone so they can hear you.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just going to try and find it now. Is it on? Is it on? Is that okay? Sweet. Yeah, it's lovely to obviously see you all here and give thanks for Rory with so many people that we do love. Oh, man, here we go. Oh, I haven't even really said anything yet. Yeah, we just wanted to spend a couple of minutes sharing with you how thankful we are for Rory and a bit about the last few years as to why he is extra special to us. a couple of years of trying to have a baby, we did some tests and were told that IVF would be a good way forward for us. And we did have to wait a while for the process to begin. Due to tests and then waiting for the results. We're not the most patient people in the world, so it's a bit of a struggle. But we always felt that God was with us, and we saw some amazing answers to prayer through some challenges, like getting NHS funding and being able to go where we wanted for the treatment. We were very fortunate, and we were able to go to Guy's in London, which was fantastic. They were wonderful up there. We began our treatment in February last year, and we're back and forth for a few weeks for scans and appointments, each time with the unknown of how Bex was responding to the medication and what the results of the tests would be. And during these weeks particularly, we were praying for God's comfort and help. And ultimately, as much as we desperately wanted a baby, we did want God's will to be done, whatever that may be. The medication worked well, and we felt positive about the future. And we made the decision to try and create 6 embryos. This was a tough decision to make, as we knew the more embryos that we make, the greater the chance we've obviously got of having a baby. Whilst knowing this, we prayed a lot over it for wisdom and peace with our decision. The doctors we were with felt strongly we should create as many embryos as possible, which we understood the science behind. And again, after praying a lot, we felt guided to have just the 6 embryos created, as we didn't want to have any embryos left over that we couldn't financially afford to try and use in the future, as I'm sure we're aware, it costs an absolute bomb. With all this in mind, we know and trust in the God of creation and felt huge comfort that no matter the outcome, we could have faith that he loves us and has a plan for us. We found out that 5 of our 6 embryos had developed and were frozen until we planned to transfer one at the beginning of May. In the week leading up to this transfer, the embryos were thawed and continued to develop well. And then on the day of the embryo transfer, we were told only 3 had developed well enough to be considered for transfer, and we had 1 implanted. And then the next day, we had a call to say that the other 2 embryos hadn't developed any further, and so the one we had transferred was our only one. This really put our faith to the test, and Bex especially questioned whether we'd made the right decision in only creating 6. We did feel peace that God had his hand on the embryo we had done, and we were hopeful for a positive outcome. After a couple of weeks, we found out it had been a success, and Bex continued with a healthy pregnancy, morning sickness aside, obviously. We're not sharing this to say it was an easy journey because we trusted God. We did have times of doubt and huge sadness and worry about what the future would look like, but we were able to trust an all-knowing and an all-powerful God. And we are so thankful that God answered our many prayers for a baby. Rory's middle name, like John said, is Samuel. Because in the Bible, as John said, there's a lady called Hannah who prayed for a long time, for many years, for a baby. And God heard and answered her prayer. So she called him Samuel because it means God has heard. We feel the same.
Well done. Thank you. Oh, that was good to hear. Right, shall I have the little fellow?
There we go. I'm not quite sure what's happened to the microphone here, but I'll speak loudly and see what happens. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with heartfelt thanksgiving for your kindness and your blessing. We thank you so much for little Rory Samuel. We thank you for hearing their prayers. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift, a child, a gift from God. And we do pray that you might abundantly help and bless Charlie and Bex. These early stages of parenthood, so very demanding. Many stages of parenthood, pretty demanding. And so we pray for them to have strength and patience and wisdom and your help each step of the way. Help them to rejoice in the joys as well as to face the challenges. And we pray for little Rory and ask that you would bless him greatly. Lord, if it would please you, we pray for his good development physically and mentally and socially and spiritually. We commit him to you and pray that you would bless him greatly. Do hear our thanksgiving and our prayers together, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.